And it's Vents Day. We are here with two topics in the news, and we want to hear from you. Your views make the segment, whether you want to share them with us on the phone, in our inbox, or on Facebook.
800-838-3760. We'll be talking about Neighborhood Watch and other self-security programs and airport screening as well. These are the topics. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with police. Law enforcement coverage is an issue in several parts of the region, and it's a life and limb kind of concern. Josephine County is probably the best-known example. Outside the city of Grants Pass, protected by its own police department, official law enforcement patrols are a rare thing. County government is so strapped that there are only a handful of patrol deputies and no round-the-clock coverage by the sheriff's office. Oregon State Police have stepped in to handle major crime investigations. And there are remedies that come from citizens, not from government, and that's how we approach this week's survey. Here's Emily.
That's right, Jeff. We asked people if they had a neighborhood watch group, and we're asking now. Our survey is still up on our Facebook page. That's the Jefferson Exchange, or you can find it at jeffexchange.org. And let us know if your community has an active neighborhood watch or citizen-based policing group. And then it gets pretty general from there. We want to know how you feel about that. Does it make you feel safer to have your neighbors engaged in policing? Does it make you feel less safe because maybe these people aren't trained? Have you called the police and waited a very long time for response? That's something I've heard many times in a rural area and reporting on law enforcement and the crime that goes on. So we want to hear from you. Any way you want to bring those comments, it's 800-838-3760 or check out our survey on Facebook.
Our other issue this week is also a security concern. This is airport security. TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, was born in the days after the 9/11 terror attacks by plane. But TSA agents are in short supply, short enough that travelers by the thousands missed flights this year because they could not get through the screening process in time. Things were apparently a bit better by the recent holiday weekend, but for how long? So tell us, how would you improve the speed of airport screening? Would you have Congress provide more money and more screeners? Would you allow other agencies or even private entities to come in and add to the screening effort? If slow screening could cause someone to miss a flight, should they be waved through, for example, if they're within a few minutes of potentially missing their plane? And most importantly, we want to hear your story. If airport screening has changed your approach to travel, if you've just decided, you know what, I'm going to keep my shoes on and I'm going to stay home, or I'm going to take Amtrak or Greyhound or something, or just drive wherever I'm going.
Wear sandals and take the bus.
Right. So tell us how the airport security screening has affected you and your life. 800-838-3760 to join Vents Day by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org.
Jeff, you recently took a trip and flew to Texas, I believe. How did that go? Were you that was during this period when the head of the TSA was removed. Apparently the organization was in disarray. Did you wait in line a long time?
Leading up to that, it was before getting that close to Memorial Day in late April, and we flew back in May. But good question, because unbeknownst to us, and I'm not sure if that's because we're just getting to be dull old people, but we both got TSA pre-check without even asking for it. Shoes stayed on.
Interesting.
The belt had to come off both times, and the cell phone and all the other pocket contents had to come out. But no, it was a real quick process, particularly at a small airport like Medford, where you just zip, zap, zup, and you're through. I did lose my shaving cream. I had more than 4 ounces of shaving cream.
Suspicious,
so that was the end of that, yeah.
Well, I have friends who are on the opposite end of the spectrum, where every time they go through the line, they get pulled aside and searched. I'd be interested to hear people's experiences with TSA. Does it make you feel safer is sort of the umbrella theme of today's Vents Day. We want to hear about your neighborhood watch groups. I know I follow quite a few of them in the region on Facebook. There's Josephine County Scanner Banner. That's one of my faves. Del Norte Neighborhood Watch. And of course, Reading Crime. A lot of really active Facebook groups there. They do raise some interesting questions, though, especially when someone is accused of a crime but not convicted, and maybe their personal information is shared on Facebook. We got a comment via our survey to that effect. This one comes from Kelly in Klamath Falls. Kelly wrote in to tell us, the Facebook groups are getting out of hand, posting personal information of people, including information on minors. Anything and everything that comes across the scanner is posted online within minutes. Well, thanks for taking our survey, Kelly in Klamath Falls. And now we want to hear from you. What is your neighborhood watch up to, and does it make you feel safer? It's 800-838-3760. 3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Let's add to that a couple of questions about what you think the limits of a neighborhood watch program should be. If there are going to be people patrolling your neighborhood and keeping an eye on suspicious characters, how do you decide what is going to be a suspicious character? Or do you think a neighborhood watch should be armed if that's allowed in your jurisdiction, if open carry is allowed, that sort of thing? What are the limits that should be placed on programs where you have citizens doing patrols instead of sworn officers? I mean, what are some of the things that would make you feel less safe, even if people were trying to enforce safety in your particular area? Let's talk about what you expect from public safety in the streets, and then let's also shift this over to what you like and dislike about the whole process of trying to make sure that security is assured aboard the nation's airplanes. 800-838-3760 to join Vince Day by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org.
Jeff, you raise a very interesting point there, thinking about the limits of citizen police efforts. I think we are faced with some different questions today than we were maybe 20, 30 years ago. Neighborhood Watch, of course, we used that logo on our survey, very familiar of the sort of ubiquitous silhouette of the bad man in the trench coat peeping over the edge of it, which you know from windows and fence posts all around America, this idea of the Neighborhood Watch of, hey, we're looking out for ourselves. Here, the context is a little different because there are places in our listening area where you may call the police and it may take them an hour to reach you if you're at the far end of their jurisdiction. That's one complicating factor. There's another in this idea of social media and Facebook and everything. People who are listening to the scanner are putting the drips and drabs and unmediated public information that used to be just cops and reporters listening to that. Now it's on Facebook. I'm wondering whose lives that's affected. Have you had an experience where your address was put on Facebook because of a police call there, because of some suspicious activity? Has your child been featured on Facebook? I know there are probation departments and sheriff's departments using Facebook differently now. So it's really a new age for Neighborhood Watch, and I'd love to hear about it from our listeners.
800-838-3760 to join the exchange and talk about Neighborhood Watch and general security measures by folks who are not sworn officers of the law. Our other topic is airport security screening and what you make of that and the current backlog, which did result, as Emily pointed out, in the head of the TSA being removed and in the hiring of new people, evidently. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Bill and Eugene, here's a call. Welcome to Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I'm in regard to airport security. I heard either on NPR, but I didn't catch the numbers exactly, that they said that when 9/11 hit, that they took $5 every time you buy a ticket goes into TSA. But since then, they've taken at least a dollar or a big proportion of that and just threw it in a general fund to play for the whatever reason, the war or whatever. And also, since I think in the last 6 to 10 years. I'd like to have these numbers clarified if anybody could. The security amount of people they've had doing the TSA work, this, you know, passing you through, has dropped by about 20% to 30% in the last couple of years at the all general airports.
All right.
If anybody could clarify those numbers for me.
I'm taking a look for them right now, Bill. Appreciate that. What have your own experiences been like going through airport security? I mean, aside from concerns about the funding, I mean, have you had some issues with TSA yourself?
No, because I fly out of Eugene. It's a fast airport. But, you know, I don't mind waiting as long as it's safe. But I'm pissed off that you're paying for this security and you're putting the money in the general fund. It should stay in TSA. No wonder we're having trouble.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate the thoughts.
Those are interesting thoughts, and it's a little boggling. We're over here tip-tapping away, trying to provide some facts for you, Bill. Something like $13 billion on the line, although you know, I don't have those figures at my fingertips, Jeff. Certainly, funding is a perennial issue for TSA and so many security agencies. To pivot to our other topic, local law enforcement, certainly one of them. 3 years ago, Josephine County had 6 sheriff's deputies. I'd love to hear an update on the situation from someone who lives in Josephine County. Have you been able to interact with local law enforcement? Do you call them with confidence? Are we doing better? The phone number is 800-838-3760. 3760, or you can email us jx@jeffnet.org. Want to hear about security both in the sky and in your neighborhood?
You know, particularly in the case of Josephine County, some of our listeners in the Grants Pass area would love to hear from you, because I want to know how different the view is on either side of the Grants Pass city line. Since you have the city of Grants Pass with its own public safety department, police and fire under one roof, you've got regular patrols in the city. You've got the city actually paying the county for jail beds, $1 million a year, to make sure that they keep more jail beds just for people locked up by the city. I wonder if you live in the city of Grants Pass, if you would not think at this point about moving outside the city limits because of concerns like safety. Let's hear what you have to go there. Now, back to what Bill called to ask about. He was asking about the diversion of fees, and I'm looking at some information just from last week, in fact, from Airports Council International. Kevin Burke is the president and CEO there, and he said that $13 billion of the 9/11 fees that are collected from passenger tickets have been diverted to pay for other programs, including a reduction of the national debt over the past 10 years. So $13 billion total, $1.25 billion this year. For perspective, how much is $1.25 billion in the federal budget? Enough to fund Amtrak pretty well for a whole year.
That is a scandalizing to not to have a non-neutral response to a news item, but $13 billion and for TSA, you know, certainly a sensitive subject in this country, airport security and how we do that. I think in a segment like this, maybe we hear from people who are, oh, I don't want to, you know, waiting in line is a bit inconvenient. It can be invasive to be searched. Are they searching the right people? Like you said, Jeff, they just wave you through versus, you know, I have a friend and he's dark complected. And every single time he goes through the line, he gets pulled out, his whole bag gets searched, everything. So these are certainly one side of it. The other side of it, though, is this is something that's important to people, something that these fees, many of us would say, yes, I would pay the fees. I want this $13 billion to go towards airport security. Kind of shocking to hear that it didn't.
And if you're wondering what you're paying, if you're buying a round-trip ticket, you're generally paying about $11.20 maximum for a round-trip or multi-segment ticket just for your security fees. Of that, the Airports Association, let me get the name again, the Airports Council International North America says about $1.20 out of each of the $11.20 ends up getting diverted away from security screening. So that's one of the issues well brought up by our friend in Eugene. Let's hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Vent your spleen politely on these topics. The topics are airport screening, how it is handled, how it is funded, and public safety not in the hands of public safety officers, neighborhood watch and programs like that, and what you think about those and whether you're part of those in your neighborhood. Let's hear from you at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Steve in Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange on Vents Day.
Howdy. I think Ben Franklin once had a quote to the effect that those who are going to give up freedom for the sake of security deserve neither. And it seems to be to me that since the Patriot Act, we've given up a lot of freedoms. Freedom to warrant us searches on down the line.
Steve, does this apply to airport screening? Your idea of losing your freedom?
We've given up a lot of freedoms in airports. I got you a lot of indignity. And to my knowledge, and I may be wrong, but I've heard that the TSA has yet to capture one terrorist.
All right. Thanks.
I don't know if that's true or false, but that's what I've heard. And if I have, I'm just wondering, you know, if it's worth the cost.
All right. Thanks for the thought, Steve. Appreciate that. I must say, when we talk about things that have changed since 9/11, that in the days before 9/11, I never had anybody, rubber glove or not, put their hand in my pants to make sure that I wasn't hiding anything in the front of my pants. But that has happened. And it's just because I didn't take my belt off soon
enough. I think I get a little, when you go into the scanner device, I think Medford Airport has those now where you're not padded down, but you are body scanned. That one is a little bit strange to me. I always wonder what do they see in there? I'm not sure about the rubber glove in our pants. I haven't had the
Don't say pleasure, because it really wasn't.
Okay, yeah, I have not had that experience. Interesting thoughts there from Bill, though, about, you know, is this worth it? Is this money well spent? We've still got, you know, just 2 weeks ago, almost 500 people were stranded at Chicago O'Hare's International Airport. They ended up pulling out cots for them. The mayor had to make a statement, all because they missed their flights waiting in line for security to clear them.
Indeed. And the concern now is that this could be a record travel summer. Airline tickets and income are meeting at a good place for a lot of people. So there is a great expectation that planes will be largely full this summer. So figure on long lines. And one thing I will say, we did actually get out of security on the way to Texas, since you bring up my trip, to go ride trains in Denver. You know, if I have a 3-hour layover, I'm going to go ride a train if there's one available. And there was. So when we came back to go into security at the Denver airport, the lines were snaking fairly long for everybody else. But the TSA pre-check chute down one side was about 4 people deep. And it goes very fast. So, you know, it's worth your time. And maybe you're not as old and boring looking as I clearly am, that I get waved through now. But you know, TSA pre-check is a good place to do whatever you need to do to get into that.
And important to remember that old, boring looking people do terrible things all the time. So
that is true.
I think,
I'm not sure if I should take it personally or not. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts on airport security, your thoughts on neighborhood security, neighborhood watch and airport screening. How should either one of these be handled if they're not being handled correctly now? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Heidi in Medford. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hi. I'm talking about TSA.
Mm-hmm.
The long lines were really created by the airlines themselves. They are making a lot of money these days with gasoline prices down. But they have also started charging for bags. And if you pay $25 per bag, you are inclined to take it on board. If they would eliminate these bags being carried on board, except the small carry-on, we wouldn't have these long lines.
And so you used to check your bag, Heidi, but now...
I check my bag, but you take a family of 4, that's $100 right there.
Uh-huh.
If they check their bags. And so it was created by the airlines. And, you know, if you just had a shoulder bag that you carried on, it would be zip through the TSA.
All right.
And the other thing I wanted to say, that the Medford TSA has really been fabulous.
Okay, they just
no complaint whatsoever there.
Okay, thanks for that, Heidi. Appreciate that. I want to hear from people who may be flown out of bigger airports, because as I mentioned, you know, Bill and Eugene mentioned that there's no particular issue flying out of Eugene, no particular issue flying out of Medford, I've noticed. But again, it was a different situation going back into a bigger airport in Denver. When we took a little break on our travels. If you have gone to bigger airports, if you're one of those people who, for example, will drive to Sacramento or drive to Portland to go to the airports, tell us about what the security lines are like there, what you're seeing when you go to those places rather than flying out of your local airport. And if there's a big difference from what you see, and therefore a big difference in the amount of back time you have to factor in to be able to travel. Let's hear about that. One of the other things that was just brought up by Heidi, though, is about bag checking. And I know that some people have said if we didn't have to carry our bags on the plane, if they wouldn't keep charging us for this, that we wouldn't get this situation where everybody's bags have to be checked to get into the cabin. One of the groups, though, that's been complaining about the TSA scrutiny points out that it wasn't just O'Hare that had the big hang-up recently with long TSA lines. It was also Chicago's Midway Airport, which is served primarily by Southwest, which doesn't charge for bags. So even for people who had no charge to put their bags on the plane, therefore didn't have to go heavy with the carry-ons, also had long security lines.
It's a huge problem affecting many people. I'm thinking now about some folks I've known who actually work for TSA, and what it was a neighbor years ago, and her hours were, this was in Austin, Texas, at a slightly bigger airport there, but this woman would get up and go to work at 3 a.m. a lot of the time. Maybe coming from radio, you can relate, Jeff. So, you know, it's on both sides. I think what you'll see in the human interaction when you're standing in line is oftentimes tension between the screeners and the people who see them as the barrier between getting to your flight on time and not getting to your flight on time. But certainly would love to hear that perspective of what it's like to work for TSA and to have that much responsibility and maybe not get paid that much money, or have a schedule that makes it hard to be very alert and on top of your job all the time. I think that's one of the institutional issues pointed out here in this, I guess, a series of stories about TSA in the last few weeks. organization and how the organization was being run, perhaps not as efficiently as it could have been.
When you bring up Austin, we did fly back out of Austin's airport, and I was thinking about the fact that one of those things where something in your bag looks funny in the x-ray as it goes through in your carry-on. And I have to say that the people who handled us this time were very apologetic, very nice about the whole thing. Sorry, have to unzip this, you know, and they're pulling things out. You're pulling out your granola bars and pulling out your snacks along the way and all the things you're trying to do to keep yourself fed and not spend the $5 on the cardboard box with basically Lunchables in it. And, you know, despite the, if you keep cool, that's a difference in the process, but it's not about individual interactions. It's about mass interactions, and TSA clearly is getting some money diverted away from it, as we've just pointed out. And
so, yeah, $13 billion.
Over the course of 10 years, yeah, but $1.2 billion a year, that's money that could really have an impact if you're talking about hiring more screeners.
Or not, as one of our callers suggested, that no matter how much money we spend on it, it's not really addressing the problem. Was a view we got earlier on this Fence Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. We've also been talking about security in neighborhoods, especially ones where police presence may not be very strong. If you live in a rural community in Oregon or California, you know what I'm talking about. We asked folks on our survey if they have a neighborhood watch group. About a quarter of those who responded did. And we asked them about how they feel about citizens policing their neighborhood. Let's give a thought here to Jamie in Gold Beach. Jamie wrote in, that would be fine if they were properly trained and worked in conjunction with the local law enforcement. So something to keep an eye on for future exchanges, partnerships between local law enforcement and citizens groups.
Here's another call. Here's Robert in Ashland. Welcome to Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Yeah, I just flew through O'Hare,
mm-hmm.
and about a week ago, and I'm dealing with some extreme foot problems,
mm-hmm.
and I heard that it was 2 to 3 hour lines, and so, you know, I had to contact the airline and request a wheelchair to get through the line. I could not stand
mm-hmm.
for 2 hours straight. And I'm with Bill. You know, I don't feel safer as a result of all the resources that are going into delaying travelers.
All right. Thanks for that, Robert. Appreciate it. You know, and there are a number of websites that'll tell you that TSA has never caught a terrorist, but the question is deterrence here, too. I mean, how many people have not considered trying to take things onto an airplane because of what goes on out there? Then there's the issue, too, that came up in the midst of all this blow-up with TSA recently with the slow lines about the fact that several tests had been run and people had successfully gotten contraband through in experiments.
A lot of factors to consider. Preventative justice, not the easiest one to measure. Same thing for neighborhood watches, our other topic this Fence Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Curitan.
I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening to this hour of The Exchange.